ooh, this is really exciting. It's working today. I didn't do anything to it. Last couple weeks, we haven't been able to use it. Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Isaiah. This is our last part of this series, but what a great series it has been. I just love the Lord. You can read the Bible over and over and over and over and over, and these days I've been listening to it. I got an earpiece, and I discovered nobody can hear you when you're listening to the Bible. Even if you're at the grocery store, or you're shopping for clothes, or wherever you're at, driving in the car. And so I'm addicted. It's so bad that if I leave the house and I forget to turn it on, I got to pull over and turn it on. Because I love it. The Word of God is amazing. And even if you're not following along reading, it's going into you. And the Word of God changes things. It says it's alive and active. That was a little side note for all of you who are wondering. So get your Bibles out, or get you an earpiece, or get your phone out. And Bible Gateway, it doesn't even charge you data. How awesome is that? You just go to the auto, listen to it, doesn't charge your data, and you just get to hear the Word of God over and over and over. And you get to pick who talks to you, because there's some of them I don't like when they talk. So you get to pick your guy and who says it. It's awesome. You get to pick your translation. That's my little plug right there for the day. The Word of God. Why was I talking about that? Oh, I was talking about how powerful it is when you can read the Word of God your whole life and you can stumble across a verse you've read so many times. I don't know how many times I've read Ecclesiastes 11:1. I've read through the Bible bazillions of times, and it never had the power that it had this time. And that's what that talks about, where his mercies are new every morning and his word is alive and active. It's because the same verse you could read over and over and over again, when you need it at the right moment, all of a sudden it goes, whoa, that's awesome, right? And we've been learning so much about what this verse means in Ecclesiastes 1, about cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. I'm going to say it one more time because it's my last week. The illustration of the two cups. And we put the piece of bread in, and Richard came up here and acted out waves. Remember that? And we watched the bread disintegrate. One piece of bread turned into so many particles, we could never count them. Well, I guess maybe scientists could if they really sat down. That would be a lot of counting and a lot of time, right? And we talked about how that's not just we cast our bread once. Every time that you give in the name of the Lord, you're casting your bread upon the water. So I don't know about you, but I got lots of bread in the water, right? And each one of those one chunks has disintegrated and is multiplying out there. And what does it say? It will return to you. Amen. And then we talked about a cup of cold water, because sometimes people say, well, I don't have anything to give. Everyone has something to give. Say everyone.
Everyone.
Say I have something to give.
I have something to give.
There is something around you that water is free. So we talked about there is something in your life that you can freely give that really won't even cost you anything, but it will change the life of someone else, and it will what? Change your life. Amen? And then we talked about not growing weary, because sometimes when you're casting your bread on the water and you're not seeing things, you're thinking, oh, what's going on? God has a timing, and if you will not faint, you will reap a reward. And sometimes we don't understand the timing of things. But when he does, he's good. He's amazing. We've watched Richard's bills be paid for at the hospital. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's been out of work since January. And God is providing all their needs. How does that happen? Not in the natural. But when you are a tither and giver, it returns to you. And a lot of times we talked about your return doesn't just come in one big wave. It's the little things that just roll up every single day as the water comes up on the beach, to the point where it becomes so everyday happening, you don't even realize, oh, wait a minute. Whoa, my income went up. Whoa, my debt went down. Whoa, what's going on? So pay attention. Then we talked about not being close-handed, but being open-handed. And I gave you the illustration of my grandfather, who always had a handful of change. Well, a pocketful, and then it became a handful. And we talked about, he didn't go like this, okay, take your change. You can't get anything out of a hand like that. He had huge hands. But he would always be open to where it was spilling out. And as long as you keep your hands open, guess what? You get blessed and others get blessed. Amen? And then last week we talked about how the Lord repays. When you give to the poor, the Lord repays and he keeps good accounts. Really good accounts. He takes our two and two and makes whatever he wants. It doesn't come out four with him. It comes out even more. And today is our last verse, and I love that the fact that this particular verse is not only along the same lines of more abundance or never ending and casting your bread, but it also has to do with it's a prophetic portion of scripture, and it's about these days that we're living in right now. In Isaiah 32, verse 20, it says, "How blessed you will be." Say, "I'm going to be blessed." "Sowing your seed by every stream and letting your cattle and donkeys range free." Yes. Sowing your seed by every stream. Yes. And just taking this just literally, it means you're sowing your seed in a good place. Say, good soil. Now, we think about here in America, but you can't think about that when you think about Bible. You have to think about over in the Middle East. And you can't just go anywhere and plant a seed in the Middle East. Because guess what? Most of those places are dry and don't have a lot of water. So that's the connotation that he's writing in, is you're planting your seed by water. One scripture I looked up said abundant waters. Because what does that water do to the ground around it? Saturates it, and what does it do to it? It makes it be fruitful. Something is going to grow because it's being watered. So we're planting our seeds in things that are fruitful, things that you're seeing a difference being made. Amen? And I got excited about this because I think about what we did last week with our missionaries. We planted a seed. Their story is so amazing. They didn't get through all of it, but they went over to help with orphans first. And then the Lord took them from the orphans to the college students because there was this huge gap and no one was speaking into the college students' lives. And these are the next leaders. So they went in and set up a program that is now all over Bolivia, all over college campuses, which, by the way, that age group basically gets a free ride to college. It's $2 a year to go to college in Bolivia. So everyone's going to college, getting their education. Now they have these Chi Alpha groups all over all these colleges. And so they're hearing about the word of God and it's booming. And not only that, some of these college students who came in when they started the group about 4 or 5 years ago are now out of college and they're going to other countries setting up these Chi Alpha groups in those colleges. Do you see what God is doing here? And then there was a shift in the government's attitude toward the churches. And they said, because of the education that all the young people are getting, in order for you to be a pastor of a church, you have to have a degree. Most of these people were around when college was not inexpensive. So they don't have degrees. They're already in churches. They can't just leave for 3 or 4 years and go get their degree. So the Lord puts in Jeremiah's heart, start a college that they can stay right where they're at, using Skyping and all the different methods that you can use online now. They stay right in their own churches. They stay right in their own homes. They do all their assignments, and then they email them or send them via wherever they do that. They're able to get their degrees. And Jeremiah said, but Lord, the country is so hard about qualifying as a college or any school. And a friend of his said, I want you to meet a man. So he meets this older gentleman, and they start talking, and he's excited about Jeremiah's dream. And Jeremiah says, but I'll tell you what, the educational process is just a bear. It's so difficult. And the old man looks at him and goes, nah, no, it's not. And Jeremiah's thinking, well, yeah, what do you know? You're an old guy. You probably didn't have an education, you know, that kind of thing. And he says, oh, yeah, sir, it really is. He goes, no, it's not. He said, last year I was in charge of all the education for the entire country. And I know the lady that now runs that department. He said, I went, okay, Jesus, I see where this is going. Guy got a hold of the lady that's now in charge. She said, help him out. They got all the ducks in a row. It is now certified by the country of Bolivia as a source where pastors can get their education, and it qualifies. I'm telling you, when you plant your seed by the waters, what did Jeremiah say last week? It's not just them going over doing the work. We are a part of what is going on in these countries all over the world because of our seed being sown. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And then this next part, I was like, okay, so what does this have to do with anything? It says, letting your cattle and your donkeys range free. And I got so excited when I realized what this means. What kind of animals did the labor for getting their fields ready? Cattle and donkeys. Letting them range free means that they were free to be able to go get their water, their food, and free to refresh themselves before coming back to do the work again. This is a messianic passage of scripture, and everywhere I looked in every commentary, it says the meaning is more than just literal. There is a spiritual context. Guess who is doing the work of going out and sharing the gospel? Your pastors and your missionaries. And you are sowing in every stream that comes into this church. You are sowing by abundant waters. You guys should be excited. This is awesome stuff. This is exciting stuff. As you are sowing and giving, what does it say? You will reap a reward. Never ending. Never ending. We got so excited about Maria's testimony today. But Mark shared with us, you know, this isn't the first time. I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago. She had the same thing. They came to her and told her she had cancer. They prayed and stood on the word of God, and she got healed. And Mark said, is this normal? And he's like, well, not always. So Maria could have said, well, God spared me once, so I got my one time, we're good. But that's not her attitude. And that can't be your attitude in your finances. You can't just say, oh, God blessed me once, so I'm good. No, never ending. Say never ending.
Never ending.
Say it again.
Never
say it again. Never ending. Like the waves of the sea, it's constantly coming back to you. What is our part? To give, to give, to give, to be vessels he can flow through. Blessed to be a blessing, casting our bread, knowing we always have something to give, not growing weary when it seems like it's too long, keeping our hands open, and knowing the Lord will repay, and blessed are those who sow. Never ending, never ending. And it all starts with the bread. Taking what you have and giving it back to the Lord. You know what? He loves you so much today. He's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. And he set up a system, and this is the way it works. Just like you can't go to a building and jump off and expect to be okay at the end. That's a law. Right? You know that, the law of gravity. This is the law of giving. If you want to be blessed in your life, then the law says you plant a seed. Every farmer knows that. He can't go get a farm and sit on his front porch and say, okay, I'm a farmer. He's not really a farmer until he goes out, sows a seed, waters it, makes sure it's protected and away from the birds and waits for it to bring a harvest. And even then, if he has a harvest, he still is not a farmer until what? Until he reaps it and then takes it out and sells it, right? That's the whole process. That's the same thing with us. It's a process. So don't grow weary in the process. Amen? Whew. God is good. Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for this powerful word, never ending. As I've shared before, every time someone sees a picture of the beach or they see waves or they hear waves or whatever they're around, Father, it reminds them of the ocean. Let them remember never ending, never ending. That your blessings for us are never ending. And we just pray today, Father, for all of our harvests that we have sowed and we have stood for and we have waited for. We just call them in Jesus' name. And Father, we just praise you for giving us wisdom if there's things we need to do to go out and harvest it. Show us, Father, if there's things that maybe we've forgotten about, talents that we've had that we've never used or put aside. Help us to remember, Father, the things that you've shown us and to do them. And help us to be faithful for what is in our hands, God. Help us never to close our hands and get greedy. Help us to keep our hands open so that money is not our God. You are our God. And we just praise you and we thank you for your faithfulness today in all of our finances and in the finances of this church. We praise you and we thank you, Father. Bless every missionary that is out there working across the world for your kingdom, Father. We just praise you and we thank you. Every one of their needs is met. We pray for Jeremiah and Marjorie especially right now as they're trying to raise the funds to go back to Bolivia. Every cent will be in by the time they need to go. That's what we call in Jesus' name. Because God, they too are tithers and givers and given to other ministries. So that flow will continue in their lives. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you for your faithfulness today to bless every seed that is sown. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Very much. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you. You look so nice today. Thank you for my hug. Amen. Oh, Luke, you are so fast. It got to the front row before you even left the room. Sometimes I just like, thank you so much. Sometimes I just like, you know, sending my boys on missions that don't really exist. Like yesterday, we went to the par 3 golf course. The boys and me, our first kind of together golf, actual golf experience that wasn't, you know, putt-putt. And sometimes on those par 3 courses, you leave a club behind because you're going from the pitching wedge to the putter, and I couldn't find my pitching wedge. So I'm like, hey, I got my boys here. I don't got to go running looking for it. So I was like, Lane, would you mind jogging back a couple holes and seeing if my pitching wedge is on the green? And so he's out there running around. I'm like, I just can't find it in my bag. And I realized I had taken the cover off the 9-iron and put it on the pitching wedge. So I pulled, oh, there it is. Wait, it's okay. I got it. Oh, and then I just did the same thing to Luke with the Bible. Isn't that funny? Praise the Lord. But praise God for boys that just let going on missions that sometimes don't exist. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray with this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that we are on a mission that does exist. It's a mission from God. And we thank you, Lord, that Jesus fulfilled his mission on this planet. And you have a mission for everybody in this room, Lord God. And we thank you that your Holy Ghost is here. Your word is here. Faith is here. The love of God is here. The joy of the Lord is here. To help us accomplish our mission, Lord. And God, I thank you for helping us not to be overwhelmed with the mission or trying to figure out every detail about the mission, Lord. But thank you, Lord, for just giving us strength for, everybody say, today. Strength for today. To accomplish today's mission, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that today's mission includes being in church, hearing your word. We ask you, Lord, to give us eyes to see and hearts to respond and ears to hear and the faith to act upon the things that you're asking us to do. And we'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. Well, we're going to begin a new series today called Blood That Speaks. Everybody say Blood That Speaks. Amen. And our foundation text is out of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24, and it says this, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Praise the Lord. The blood of Jesus speaks. Amen. And I like the comparison there to better things. Everybody say better things. Anybody in the house believe in God for better things? Well, you selfish thing, you. Well, that's what religion would say, right? If you're believing for better things, then you're selfish. Well, no, that's ridiculous, right? God put it in you to believe for better things. If you don't think so, just think about how it is in heaven right now. How many know when you get to heaven, you're going to get some better things than what you got right now? No matter how nice of things you have now, somebody say it's nicer there. Amen. I'm going to look nicer there. I'm going to be in better shape there, right? I'm not going to have the struggles of this life there. Amen. There's nobody in the ER there. Amen. There's nobody on welfare there. Praise the Lord. Nobody addicted to any substances there. Amen. Somebody say it's better. It's better there, right? But my Bible says that we should be believing for His kingdom to come on earth just as it is in heaven. Praise the Lord. And so I picked this image off of Google Images of a man being sworn in as a witness in a courtroom. And the blood of Jesus Christ is like a witness. No matter what you're facing in your life, what's the blood say about it? Somebody say amen. No matter what's happening or not happening in your life, what does the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ have to say about that issue? And I'll tell you what, if you're a believer, the blood is speaking for you. If you're not a believer, the blood testifies against you. Any believers in the house today? Anybody born again? Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. Then the blood is speaking on your behalf for you. If someone rejects Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, then that blood testifies against them, guilty. Amen. Right? But I'm talking to believers here, I know. And maybe somebody later is listening to this online or something and you're not a believer. Well, you can be a believer today. Somebody say today. You just open your heart and say, Jesus, I receive you as Lord and Savior of my life. I confess my sins to you and I receive my forgiveness of every sin. I receive the sacrifice that you made for me at the cross and I give you my life and you are born again, the Bible says. Praise the Lord. Has anybody ever prayed a prayer like that before? Amen. Well, that means you're saved. That means you're born again. I've been thinking of how to pepper that into just conversations with people around, you know, where somebody says, hey, how's it going? Well, it's good to be saved. How about that for an answer? And they'll go, what? What is that? It's a door. It's a door opened. You're salting, you're sowing some seed into somebody's life. It's good to be saved. How about you? Saved from what? There you go. Right there. A chance to share your testimony. A chance to share your faith with someone. I was in a McDonald's recently. Funny story. At the end it was, anyway. And I was in West Portland, and in an area where I tend to see a lot of Jewish folks around. And I love seeing people that are Jewish folks with the kippah and the prayer shawl and that kind of stuff. I feel this the same as I do if I see somebody like a soldier somewhere or a police officer. I just want to say thank you. I just want to honor them and say, you know what? God bless you. Thank you for what you do. God bless you. Thank you for being Jewish. You are God's chosen people. The Lord bless you. I just feel like whenever I bless a Jew, I get blessed. My next door neighbor is Jewish and she's ornery, but she loves my kids like her grandchildren. And we'd sometimes go mow her grass and do things for her. And she's just a sweet lady. But I feel that there's an extra blessing because she is a Jewish woman. Amen? Just read the Bible. There's lots of blessings. If you bless Israel, you be blessed. Look at the nations of the world. If you hate Israel, cursed. honor Israel, blessed. That's why it's important that we vote for people that honor Israel, that don't help Palestinians and people that want to blow Israel off the map. That brings me back to McDonald's. So I'm at McDonald's, and I see these Jewish guys over at a table having McDonald's. Keep a prayer shawl. I'm in line. I'm busy. I'm working. I say, I got to go say hi, So I'm walking out, and I say, hey, Shabbat Shalom. And the guy goes, that doesn't mean anything to me, or something like that. I don't even know what that means. And there's three guys at the table, and the dude's got the kippah and the prayer shawl, he replies that way to me. And I look at his friend, and he goes, we're Muslims. And I think, I'm just genuinely, I'm sorry, sir. I thought that was a kippah and a prayer shawl. You go, oh, no, the Muslims wear these, kind of look like a kippah, but it was a Muslim-type cap, and it looked like a prayer shawl, but it was a Muslim garment. Totally, what do you say? And I was like, oh, man, I apologize if that offended you. And you go, oh, no, we're brothers. Speaking of Muslims and Jews, and I was like, I really apologize for how I approached you guys and my ignorance on this. I said, I'm a born again Christian, and we just love everybody. And the guy starts going into, we do acts of kindness and this and that and so forth, but we don't proselytize. Well, if you want to become Muslim, you're welcome, but we don't proselytize. Like proselytizing is a cuss word, right? Preaching the gospel. I wasn't doing that. I was like, hey, listen, I'm a born-again Christian. We just love everybody. And I just chatted with him for a minute. It was really awkward, obviously. And then I apologized to the man again. I said, I apologize for the awkwardness of this. I said, you guys just have a great day. Have a great day. And I left, But I'm driving away. I'm like, Lord, I apologize to you. I thought I was blessing a Jew. And he said, he spoke in my spirit, and he said, you did bless a Jew. You blessed me by what you just did. And it just encouraged he said, you know what they saw? They saw love. They saw love. They didn't see, condemnation. You didn't get mad. You didn't judge. You didn't storm out of the room and act embarrassed. What they saw was my love firsthand. And so somebody say, even in our mistakes, God knows your heart. But he is into loving people and just blessing people, reaching out to people, even people of other faiths, amen, that need to know the truth of the gospel, right? And maybe they saw the love of God there. Maybe it gave them a different taste of a Christian right there, amen? Praise the Lord. God is so good. But in this foundation text, and we're going to talk today about some important things on God's calendar. If I had a subtitle for this message, it would be God's calendar. Did you know God has a calendar? Amen. And it has everything to do with the nation of Israel, with the Lord, with everything that Jesus has already accomplished. How many know there's things that have already been accomplished and there are things that have yet to happen, right? But this has everything to do with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything to do with what he did. And that's the thing that the Lord wants to just stand out to us, is this has everything to do with Jesus and who he is. Amen? Did you know your God is alive? Your God is not dead. Your God is not made up by men. Your God is not a doctrine of a devil, right? You have Jesus as Lord of your life. Your God is alive. Praise the Lord. Amen? But I was reading in the Shemash, which is a Jewish commentary, right? And we're going to look at in Numbers 28, 29, and Leviticus 23. You don't necessarily have to turn there, but it goes through God's calendar. The festivals and feasts of the Lord. Amen. But I was reading in the Shamash this week, and this jumped out at me. It said, the festivals are days on which the people are invited to assemble. And did you know there's going to come a day, church, when the trumpet sounds and we all assemble with God in heaven? And every Sunday really is a reminder of that, right? When we assemble as a church, there is an assembly coming. And you look at that verse we just read in Hebrews 12. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly. Right? Amen. So these Jewish holidays and festivals, Richard was reminding me that this week is Purim, which is the celebration of the victory over Haman that Esther, God used Esther to bring about. Amazing, amazing victory of God, right? And that the Jewish nation and so forth are celebrating and you know, they have costume parties and all these things, you know. And they're remembering the victory that God brought to Israel through Queen Esther. Awesome, right? Well, all these things are significant, and they all point to what Jesus Christ has accomplished, right? So the festivals are days on which the people are invited to assemble. And then he says this, the purpose of the festivals is spiritual elevation. Did you know when the trumpet sounds, which way are you going? Somebody say up. We're going up to meet with Jesus in the air. Praise the Lord. But there were some other things that I saw in there as I was studying, and it's commentary. It's not anything that you take as the gospel, for sure, but it enriches a lot of the things that we study in the Old Testament, going through books like that. Because how many of you know this is a Jewish book written by Jews to Jews, a lot of it, right? And so it's good to have some context with this. But a couple things that I read that apply to what we're talking about today was that honoring these festivals and celebrating these festivals, somehow they use the word, like repentance helps you to earn your forgiveness. And that these festivals help you to elevate yourself. So there's still some of that, like in other religions, that you have the responsibility to get yourself fixed. It's a heady knowledge, an intellectual knowledge. It's this whole, you know, climb out of it yourself. You did it to you. You get yourself out. If you repent, you are earning forgiveness. How many know there's no way that you or me could ever earn our own forgiveness or salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ? All of these festivals that we're going to look at, we're not going to look at the intricacies of the festivals themselves, but they all point to Jesus. But there are still people all over the world that celebrate these festivals, but don't see that. They don't see the connection, or they reject the connection, right? Because I'm supposed to somehow elevate myself and earn my forgiveness before God. This is not correct thinking. It's not truth. Jesus is the truth. The truth is, my sin was ugly, and so was yours, and everyone else that has walked this planet. Sin is ugly. Sin brings death, right? And there's no way I could save myself from it. Amen? Do you remember in we're coming into the Easter Passover season, the resurrection season of Jesus? Do you remember the story of the religious leaders that were hurling insults at Jesus on the cross? What were they hollering at him? Save yourself! He saved others, but he can't save himself. He chose not to save himself because he was saving me and saving you. So there's nothing we can do in ourselves to earn the forgiveness of God over our lives. This is foundational. And every other religion in the world has a track for you to earn your way out, to earn your get out of jail free Monopoly card, to earn your way out of tadpole status to frog status or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying? But somebody say, Jesus is the only way out. He is the only way out. So that blood is either testifying for me or against me. depending on what side I'm on. And Jesus talks in the Word of God, he talks about there's going to be a day where he comes and the angels separate what he calls the sheep from the goats. There's no such thing as a sheep goat or a goat sheep. You're either a sheep, somebody go, meh, or a goat. And on one of my jobs once, I had this old, literally an old goat. And he was an old goat, but he was still ornery. Don't you know goats have that kind of rebellious side to them where they just want to lower their head and charge you, right? Well, this goat could hardly move. And I was walking around doing a home inspection, and this goat was after me. And in his mind, he was crushing me, but he couldn't move. And he would scratch his, whatever the hoof is, and lower his head, and then he'd start to move, and he'd stop and just lay down. He was an old, tired goat. And there's another house that I serve now, or occasionally, that has sheep on the property. And man, you come out, and they come running. Woo! There he is! Maybe he's got food. And they're nice. And they're kind. Yeah, sheep can be dumb. Right? But Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. Somebody say, I'm a sheep. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Right? Amen. So this blood that speaks, speaks on behalf of the sheep and speaks against the goat. Now, if you're a goat, you can become a sheep. You can be saved and delivered from goat status and be promoted to sheep status. Amen? Which means that you're a follower of Jesus. Praise the Lord. But if you look through in your study time, Numbers 28 and 29, and you'll probably want to go back through these and look at stuff because there's a lot of material here we're going to go through, but it's really not complicated. Amen? And it's foundational for where we're going to go in the weeks ahead. But Numbers 28 and 29 talk about offerings. The word offering is used a lot. The shedding of blood of animals during God's special days, special holidays. A lot of animals' blood was shed. Why? Because people had sins to be cleansed of. They were offering. The blood had to be shed somewhere. And if you remember that verse we just read again, when it says that the blood of sprinkling, Jesus' blood is better, says better things than that of Abel. Well, you might remember the story of Cain and Abel. And how Cain, the first murder ever recorded, was Cain killing his own brother. Slitting his throat. Right? His blood spilled out on the ground. And then Cain buried he was jealous of his what? Why was he jealous? His offering. Because Abel's offering was better than Cain's offering. God was pleased with Abel's offering. He brought to him a sacrifice, and Cain brought him the leftovers. It was a heart issue, and God warned him. Well, Cain got jealous and killed his brother. And God comes to Cain, and he says, I hear your brother's blood crying out to me from the ground. Blood, somebody say, blood speaks, right? And what was that blood saying about Cain? Judged, guilty, rejected, separated, impoverished, sick, right? Guilty, all these things, awful stuff. That's why he says, Jesus' blood that cries out to me says better things than the blood of Abel. In other words, forgiven, clean, healed, delivered, separated to God, not from God. You see? So his blood says better things to you than the blood of Abel. And certainly better things than the blood of a goat or a ram or a sheep, amen, or a dove or a pigeon, right? Somebody say better things. Now, first of all, and I've got some scriptures here laid out in your notes, but Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 and 10 says this. And I want you to say these out loud. I'm actually going to turn to Leviticus 23. I'm not sure if I have it out specifically highlighted in this Bible, but I want you to say these the names of these events out loud. Leviticus 23. Hallelujah. Somebody say Sabbath. Say Sabbath out loud, right? Say Passover, right? Say Feast of Unleavened Bread. Say First Fruits. Hallelujah. I'm moving on through. That might, Pentecost, but that, yeah, Feast of Weeks. Say Feast of Weeks. Praise God. Say Day of Atonement. Amen. And Feast of Trumpets, right? Or Feast of Tabernacles, rather. Amen. So these are the days on God's calendar, but they all signify something. Amen. And we're just going to get through kind of, we're going to take it from the beginning and bring it up to where we are now. And then next week, we're going to talk about what's coming next. Amen. It's amazing, right? But somebody say Sabbath. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 through 10, it says this: 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Somebody say the seventh day is the Sabbath, right? Amen. And then 2 Peter verses 3 through 8, or verse 8 says this: But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So we can look at the days of creation that are outlined in Genesis, and we can say there was, each day signifies 1,000 years of creation. Amen. So let me read to you Revelation 20, right? That's toward the end of the Bible. Amen. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up with a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more. Somebody say no more, right? Till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of all those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now listen to this. It's approximately 2,000 years from Adam to Noah, approximately 2,000 years from Noah to Jesus, and approximately 2,000 years from Jesus to now. Where does that put us in history? We're right about to enter in the 7,000th year, right? That's exciting, amen? Because all these things happen, the return of Jesus happens, all this stuff happens, this 1,000-year reign where Satan is bound up and cast into the pit, right, for 1,000 years, and he's talking about people reigning on thrones. Who do you think that is? That's you, and that's me, right? Jesus, he talks about kings and priests. Amen? So we are ever so close to this 1,000-year reign. So every Sabbath weekend, we ought to remember that. Every single day we wake up, it's a reminder. Every week as a cycle is a reminder that this is coming. This is coming. This is coming. This is coming. Amen? That's a glorious thing. And then Passover. Somebody say Passover. Right? Exodus 12, verses 5 through 7. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on. Somebody say, put the blood on. Amen. And this is symbolic. We'll look at John 1:29 there. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So Passover is Jesus fulfilled it, is the point, right? Jesus is the Passover Lamb. Somebody say, once for all. Once and for all, with his death and burial and resurrection, every person in the world can be saved through him, through his sacrifice. So Jesus became the Lamb of God. So somebody say that's happened now, right? Jesus has fulfilled that. And his blood is speaking that that's been fulfilled. Then we move on. And this is all in chronological order, how it's laid out in the Word, right? The Feast of Unleavened Bread, Exodus 12, 15 through 17. 7 days ye shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day ye shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. On the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation. Just bear with me on this, okay? No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat. In that only may be prepared by you, so you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on it the same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt, and therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. And then 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 through 8 says this, do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This reminds us, you know, leaven symbolizes sin in this sense, right? So when Jesus died, sin died with him. He removed the leaven of sin, the consequences of sin, the curse of sin once and for all. Now, is sin still on the planet? Oh, yeah. It's trespassing, right? But this reminds us, Jesus died, he became the Passover lamb, and then he removed the leaven of sin from my life, which reminds me to do what? Somebody say, repent. Stop sinning. Right? So, the return of Jesus is coming. He's paid the penalty of sin. Now I need to do what? Get saved. Respond in faith to what Jesus has done. The power of sin has been broken once and for all. That's what the blood says. The power of sin, the power of the devil has been broken. Amen. And you are born again if Jesus is Lord of your life. Amen. Then say first fruits. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with all your possessions, with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. And Revelation 1, 4 through 6 says this, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Somebody say firstborn, right? And the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests. There it is, right? To his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So this reminds us that Jesus rose again from the dead, right? He died. He poured his blood out. Took the curse of sin off this planet. And rose again from the dead, and it says he's the firstborn, which means death has lost its victory once and for all over your life. Does anybody know anybody who has passed away? Right? Well, guess what? They didn't pass away. They're with God in heaven if they're born again, right? They're in heaven forever. This power of death has been broken. Amen. I know lots of people who are in heaven today. Amen. And Jesus was the firstborn. Why? Because he rose again. He rose again. Therefore, death has no power over you. We don't have to be, people are afraid of dying. Well, you don't have to be. Death is the ultimate promotion. Amen? But these are glorious things. So he's the first fruits. Somebody say that's already happened. Jesus rose again. And then somebody say Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. And it says this. John 16, verses 7 through 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Jesus is speaking, right? For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I'll tell you what, man, there is more and more hatred toward the church than there has been in a long time, right? And it's from the folks that say don't hate, right? Why? Because they hate the truth. They love the sin, and they love the rebellion. They love being goats, and they hate the sheep, right? They are hating you, but they're hating God. They're hating Jesus. They could be born again. So what do? You keep shining the light. Just keep saying, meh, meh. Jesus can be your Savior too. Amen. Well, that's we're talking about. The Holy Ghost came. This Feast of Weeks, this Pentecost time, is the time that the Holy Ghost was poured out on this planet. Amen. And look at Acts 2 here, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they all were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Do you see God's calendar? Do you see it? Amen. The Sabbath period. You can see those years laid out. You can see the Passover and how Jesus became the Passover lamb. Somebody say that, you can check that off, right? And the Feast of Unleavened Bread, how the leaven, the curse of sin, has been broken off this planet, and we can now repent from our sins, right, and receive the forgiveness. Somebody say, check that off, right? And then the first fruits, how Jesus rose again after 3 days, right, and became the first fruit from the dead, that death has no hold on. Somebody say, check that off. That's happened. You know, like a calendar, check, check, check. My kids will be checking towards summer pretty soon, probably. Checking toward the airplane ride to New Orleans. Amen. And then the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, the day the Holy Ghost was poured out. Somebody say, check. That's happened. And if we were in a place, we would say, you are here. Somebody say, this is today. The Holy Ghost is on this planet. He's filled us up. We're His church. We're His people. And we just say, Holy Ghost, I receive you. Have your way in my life. Don't you know, I was telling Jeremiah and Marjorie at lunch the other day. I was saying, and he wrote that book about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was like, Brother Jeremiah, that's what's changing Bolivia, man. A guy can't do that. But when you get the Holy Ghost involved, he'll change a whole nation. Isn't that amazing? He'll change a whole nation. We're seeing that in our nation, where the Holy Ghost has got His people and they're doing what He's calling them to do. And somebody say, look out, devil. Right? Amen. So whatever it is, let's all stand up on our feet. We're going to pray. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, just turn the Holy Ghost loose on it. Especially those things that you feel like are out of your control. Nothing I can do about that. Just start praying in tongues over it. Loose the Holy Ghost on it. Start praising God and shouting the victory, because the Spirit of God is in you for a reason. Just let Him overflow out of you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And next week we'll go into what's yet to come. And I'll tell you what, it will give you goosebumps. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and let's pray this out loud. Let's say, Father God, I receive everything you want to do in my life today. I thank you that Jesus has come and paid the price of all sin, that the power of sin is broken off of me. I thank you, Lord, that you rose again. I thank you, Lord, that you sent the Holy Ghost to fill me up, and I receive him today in fullness. And I'll give you all the praise and all the glory, all the praise and all the glory for the power of that blood of Jesus that makes all of this and more possible. Somebody say, all of this and more. I receive all of this and more, Lord, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And I think there's probably coffee on and a delicious treat somewhere. Hallelujah.